verses in Daniel chapter 2, where we were last Sunday night, speaking about the four empires, the great image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. And in verse number 46, and we did not dwell on this much last week, we read these verses, but in verse number 46, after God reveals the interpretation of the dream, actually after God reveals the dream itself and the interpretation and uses Daniel to give it to Nebuchadnezzar, then verse 46, the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Now that's a pretty big acknowledgement there, isn't it? From King Nebuchadnezzar, from a heathen king, from the king of Babylon, he acknowledges Jehovah God. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He didn't just take the credit for himself. And by the way, he didn't take credit for himself, but he also didn't just stand by and let Nebuchadnezzar promote him. He mentioned his three friends that had also petitioned God for God to answer and for God to give the dream and the interpretation of it over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now, I read those simply because there's a huge change from the end of chapter number 2 to chapter number 3. What causes this change? There's an acknowledgement in chapter number 2 from Nebuchadnezzar regarding Jehovah God. He said, "Surely your God is the God of gods." Okay, but that changes in chapter number 3. We don't know the reason for that. Maybe there was at least one, probably two more invasions of Jerusalem, the final deportation, if you will, occurring in the midst or from chapter number 2 to chapter number 3. Probably about 20 years passes, and so there's probably at least one more invasion, one more final deportation from Jerusalem, and maybe Nebuchadnezzar gets in his mind, you know, that God really isn't as great as I thought He was. He can't even protect His people. He can't even protect Jerusalem. I don't know. I don't know what changes from chapter 2 to chapter 3. But in chapter 3, verse number 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. And by the way, we don't know if he did this because of the dream in chapter 2. Hey, I'm the head of gold. I am the greatest of this image. And so he makes this golden image. We don't know that. But he made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. And the breadth thereof, 6 cubits, 90 by 9. It's a pretty big image. It's a lot of gold. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And we're going to come back and read. We know what happens here. He sets us up this image. He demands that everyone bow down to it. But I want us to drop down in verse number 15. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And I want you to notice this phrase. And by the way, we looked at Daniel chapter 3 a couple of years ago regarding this issue, but we're looking at it again because we're going through Daniel. And so some of the things we say tonight might be familiar, and we're going to look in Daniel chapter 3 again on Tuesday night as well. But I want you to notice that phrase in the last part of verse number 15. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? And by the way, every time in the Bible when you see someone make a bold statement like that, God answers the question. It reminds me, and I'm going to read it for us. You don't have to turn there. I just want to read one verse. It reminds me of Exodus chapter 5, verse number 2. When Moses and Aaron come before Pharaoh and they tell him, the Lord has sent us. And what does he say? Who's the Lord? Listen to verse 2 in Exodus 5. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And so tonight I want to answer this question that Nebuchadnezzar poses in verse number 15 of chapter number 3 of Daniel. Who is that God? And that's the title of our message tonight. Who is that God? And from Daniel chapter number 3, I want to show us who that God is. And then Tuesday night, I want us to see why that matters to us. Tonight, we're going to answer that question. Who is that God? And then Tuesday night, we'll see. Now, by the way, we'll see that tonight as well. But Tuesday night, we'll see in more depth why that ought to matter to us. Who is that God? Let's pray and ask the Lord to help tonight. And then we'll give you several truths regarding who this God is. And by the way, Nebuchadnezzar sees in Daniel chapter number 3 who this God is. And I pray tonight, look, I know tonight I'm probably not going to tell you anything new. Just like this morning, I don't think I probably told you anything new. But I do hope that we'll be reminded. This is the God we serve. Who is that God? It's our God. Who is that God? He's the God that saved us. And I pray that it maybe even in a small way, we'll be reminded of that tonight. Father, help. Father, teach. Father, stir and challenge us tonight. And Father, I pray that as you showed Nebuchadnezzar who you were, I pray tonight that you would remind us of who you are. We know who you are tonight, Lord. We know what you've done for us in many facets and in many ways. I don't think we know everything you've done for us. I don't think we've acknowledged everything you've done for us. But Father, we know who you are. But we're often prone, as the song says, we're prone to wander from you. And we're prone to begin to trust ourselves. And we're prone to begin to look at flesh as being more mighty than you are. Not on purpose. And we would never verbally say that. But Lord, in our actions, sometimes we begin to live that way. And so Father, tonight, just remind us again of who you are, and help us and teach us and encourage us tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Number one tonight, I want you to notice, look what he says in verse number 15. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my, what's the last word there? Hands. Number one tonight, I want us to see this. Who is that God? He is the God who creates the hands. Nebuchadnezzar said, look, either you bow, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, you bow, and if you do, everything will be well. That's what verse 15 says. But if you don't, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, and when you're thrown into that fiery furnace, who is going to be able to deliver you? What God is it that's going to be able to deliver you out of my hands? Well, here's the truth tonight. Who is that God? He is the God that created Nebuchadnezzar's hands. He is the God who creates the hands. And by the way, not just the hands, but every single part of us. He is the God who creates. Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 11, the Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. He is the God who creates the hands. And when we begin to think, when we begin to see maybe a little success in our lives, and we begin to think, you know what, I have done this, we must come back and we must be reminded and we must acknowledge everything that I have, everything that I am, He created it. And He gave it to me. Because He is the God who creates the hands. Every football player, every basketball player, every athlete who thinks he is something because he can shoot a basketball, because he can catch a ball, because he can throw a ball, ought to acknowledge that God is the one that created and gave him or her those abilities. He is the God who creates the hands. First of all, if you're taking notes tonight, He had authority and He has authority today. He didn't just have it in the past. He has it today, but He had authority over Nebuchadnezzar's hands. He had authority over Nebuchadnezzar's hands. Verse number 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine, what's the word there? Hand, O king. He had authority over Nebuchadnezzar's hands. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that. They said, look, He will deliver us. He is able to deliver us. Now, I know in verse number 18, they said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. But in verse 17, they say, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. First of all, tonight, He had authority over Nebuchadnezzar's hands. Secondly, He had ability over Nebuchadnezzar's hands. Verse 17 says that as well. He had authority over Nebuchadnezzar's hands. He had ability over Nebuchadnezzar's hands. Look, that's why we shouldn't get so tied up in knots over what's going on right now in our nation. Should we be concerned? Absolutely. Should we pray? Absolutely. Absolutely. But we shouldn't lay in bed at night awake over what's going on. Should we be concerned? Should we have our eyes wide open? Absolutely. But the Bible says that God is the one who sets up and takes down. The Bible says God is the one that puts kings in place and He takes them out of place. Now, I don't know right now, we would say, God, take him out of the place right now. But if he's removed, there's a worse one behind him. Yeah, amen and amen and amen. He had authority over Nebuchadnezzar's hands. He had ability over Nebuchadnezzar's hands. Our God whom we serve is able. Can I encourage you tonight, friend, the God whom you serve is able. He's able because His hands are mightier than our hands, because His mind is greater than our mind, because His thoughts, the Bible says in Isaiah 55, are higher than our thoughts. They're greater than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. He is able. He is the God who creates the hands. Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Well, let me tell you who that God is. First of all, He's the God that creates the hands. And Nebuchadnezzar, He's the God who created your hands. He had the authority. He had the ability. And then thirdly, He was almighty over Nebuchadnezzar's hands. He had authority over Nebuchadnezzar's hands. He had ability over Nebuchadnezzar's hands. He was almighty over Nebuchadnezzar's hands. Look at verse number 29, if you would. Verse number 29 of chapter 3. And I know we're skipping over a lot, but look at verse 29. Therefore, I make a decree. Here we go. And we'll come back to the context in just a moment. But God has proven Himself once again. Jehovah has proven Himself once again. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Why? Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Again, Nebuchadnezzar comes face to face with the God of the universe, with Jehovah God, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with Daniel's God, and he said, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. He is almighty. He has all authority. He has all ability. And He has almighty. He has all might. So number one tonight, who is that God? He is the God who creates the hands. And by the way, and we'll talk about this Tuesday night, that's why He deserves our hands. That's why He deserves our hands. Look if you would. And I know I'll get a little bit ahead of myself. All right, we'll find it in a minute when we go through. Number one, He is the God who creates the hands. Number two, who is that God? He's the God who creates the hands. But secondly, He is the God who covers His. H-I-S. Covers His what? Well, let's see that. Covers His. We know the story without going back and reading all. We know in the beginning of chapter 3, He makes the golden image. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews." Why? Because they didn't bow down to the golden image. When the music began to play, they didn't bow down. Can you imagine? We don't know how many people are in this plain of Dura. When they've all gathered together, this image is set up in this plain, and how many people come? We know that the Bible says in verse number 2, He sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So, in the plain of Dura, there are scores of people there. And the music begins to play. And only three young men. You say, where was Daniel? I don't know. I don't know where Daniel is in the story here, but I guarantee if he was there, he wouldn't have bowed. We know that for sure. We know that from Daniel chapter number 1. But here are three young men. Everybody else bows, at least from what we can tell from the context. It doesn't mention anyone else. Everybody else bows except three young men. And I know I'll get ahead of myself tonight, but listen. What we need in the year 2020, headed into year 2021, are some Christians, especially American Christians, who will not bow with the crowd. We need some teenagers, some Christians in America today, who when all the other teenagers, even teenagers who say they're Christian, are bowing to the culture and bowing to everything else and bowing to the loose dress and bowing to the music of the culture, we need some teenagers that'll say, you know what? I am not going to bow. Never. You can throw me in the fiery furnace. You can make fun of me. You can ostracize me, but I am not going to bow. God help that we'll have some teenagers and we'll have some adults and we'll have some moms and dads who will say, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to listen to people at work who make fun of how I raise my children. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to listen to it. And we see He is the God who covers His. And so here they are. They're in the plain of Dura. The music begins to play. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow. Verse number 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, by the way, let me stop right here and just give a time out and just give a little side note here. Daniel chapter number 3, the great application for us is that God covers His. He covers His children. He covers His own. He takes care of us. But we should not miss the truth of Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel is prophetic. Daniel is prophecy. The truth in Daniel chapter number 3 is that Israel, going through persecution after persecution, going through trials of fire after trials of fire, is going to be saved by their God. In the great tribulation, when the false prophet sets up the image of the beast, of the Antichrist, and declares that everyone has to bow to this image and everyone has to worship this image, this, in Daniel chapter 3, is a foreshadowing of that. And everyone that doesn't bow to that image and everyone that doesn't take the mark of the beast are going to be killed. And Daniel chapter number 3 is a foreshadowing of that. We cannot miss that. But even through all of that, God is going to save a remnant of His people, of the Jewish people. There are going to be a remnant of Jews, of Israelites, who see Jesus Christ for who He is, and they're going to be saved. Don't miss that. We can't miss that. Verse number 12, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? Now, by the way, he's already had contact with these young men. He knows them. He promotes them in chapter number 2. He knows these young men. Is that true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? We read verse number 15, verse 16, we have their answer. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Can I give you another little side note right here tonight? I don't care how many people, I don't care how many Christians leave the Bible and compromise the beliefs of the Bible, and I don't care if they seem to prosper and we don't seem to prosper, or maybe I don't seem to prosper, I'll never bow the knee. And you shouldn't either. I should have had a few more amens out of that than that. This culture is capturing our churches. I think we know that tonight. And we've got pastor after pastor after pastor and church after church after church. And look, listen, I understand the weight. And I understand the heaviness. Listen, we're losing our young people. Listen, we're losing individuals to these churches who are compromising with the culture. Maybe if we give in just a little bit, we can keep a few of them. We ought never bow. We love them and we love them and we love them. But if they choose to go a different way, we don't bow. Amen and amen and amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, look, we have faith in our God. We know He has the ability. We know He has the authority. But you know what? He may not choose to do it. He may not choose to save us out of this fiery furnace. But I'm going to tell you what, whether He does or not, I'm not going to worship your golden image. We'll go to, as Esther said this morning in Esther chapter number 5, she said, if I perish, I perish. Or chapter number 4, excuse me. If I perish, I perish. Verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, he's had contact with these young men. I believe he cares for these young men. He promotes these young men. But the Bible says his visage changes, his countenance changes, his attitude and spirit toward them change because they're not going to bow down to his image. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. By the way, 7, the number of perfection. Purifying. They're going to come forth as pure gold. 7 times! What does Psalm 12:6 say about our Bible? Let me read it to you. Our Master Club's kid can probably quote Psalm 12:6. Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified, how many times? 7 times, heated up 7 times. These are young men, they're going to be purified. They're going to come out as pure gold. Whether they live or die, by the way. 7 times, heated up. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they cast him into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound. Notice this. They were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They were bound with garments, most likely with ropes. Bible doesn't say that in verse 21. It just speaks of their garments. They were bound in these garments. Verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, by the way, notice verse number 20. Nebuchadnezzar was willing to give up some of his most mighty men because of his pride. You catch that? In verse 20, he says, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them in the fiery furnace. And what does the Bible say in verse number 22? The Bible says, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered unto the king, true, O king. Yes. He answered and said, lo, I see four men. What's the next word? Loose. It burned all of their bindings off of them, but it didn't even touch them. What does he say there? I see four men loose, not bound in their garments, not bound with ropes anymore. I see four men loose. That fire took all the bonds off, if you will. He said, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. He is the God who covers His. He covers His servants. He covers His surrendered. He covers His with His Son. He covers His servants. He covers His surrendered. Verse number 28, the Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him. This is the verse I was looking for. And have changed the king's word. And notice this. And yielded their what? Bodies. He created our hands. He deserves our hands. He created our bodies. He deserves our bodies. Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged, here are three young men who have yielded their bodies, willing to give their bodies to death. They surrendered themselves to their God that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own God. He is the God. Who is that God? He is the God who creates the hands. He is the God who covers His. He covers His servants. He covers His surrendered. And I know those are the same thing. His servants were surrendered, but He covers those who are surrendered to Him. And He covers His with His Son. What does verse 25 say? And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How did Nebuchadnezzar know about the Son of God? How did he know? Maybe those four young men had talked so much about Jehovah and about His Son that was going to come. See, this is a book of prophecy. Nebuchadnezzar looks in there and says, maybe that's who they've been talking about. The form of the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, friend, tonight, He is the God who covers His. They threw these three young men to that fire. And the Bible says nothing touched them. They had no hurt. Yes, they were loosed from their bonds. But the Bible says they had absolutely no hurt. Verse 27. And the prince, and by the way, notice in verse 25 also, they're not trying to run out of the furnace. They're just walking around. Walking around loose. Why? Because they're in there with the Son of God. Because they're in there with the one who's protecting them. The Bible says in verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants, hey, there's servants again, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. That's God. Yeah, hey, friend, we know it tonight. We get around a fire, we start smelling like fire, don't we? I used to go to school with a guy, and we had a wood stove when I was little. But when I was a teenager, I went to school with a friend of mine. They had a huge wood-burning stove in their house. And he'd get on the bus in the morning, and he smelled like wood. He smelled like smoke. Not a bad smell. It was just, that's just what he smelled like. Because they burnt that wood in the house. We just get around smoke. You get around a bonfire, you smell like smoke. What's the Bible say here? They didn't even smell like smoke. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is covering them with His power and His protection. And dear friend, tonight, that is the same Lord Jesus Christ who has saved us. That's the same Lord Jesus Christ who gives us the ability, who gives us the power to live every day the abundant Christian life, who every single day stands at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He is the God who covers. He is the God who creates the hands. He is the God. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar, let me tell you who this God is. He is the God who creates the hands. He is the God who covers His. And He covers us with His Son. If you're here tonight and you know Christ and you've been saved, look, you're covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're wrapped in His robes of righteousness, and nothing can ever take you away from that. Nothing can ever loose you from that. He is the God who covers His. And then let me give you number three. He is the God who creates the hands. He is the God who covers His. And thirdly tonight, He is the God who convinces the heathen. He is the God who convinces the heathen. We read verse number 26 and verse number 27. Verse number 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Verse 29, we read just a moment ago, therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. He is the God who convinces the heathen. What does He convince them of? Of His position and of His power. Of His position and of His power. Hey, listen, friend, what this world needs to see are some Christians who have the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And because they have that faith, they see God Almighty working in their lives. They see God Almighty covering His children, His surrendered, His servants. They see the Lord Jesus Christ working in their lives, and they see the power of God Almighty resting upon those Christians. That's what this world wants to see. That's what this world needs to see, is the power of Almighty God demonstrated in the lives of His children. And can I submit to us tonight? That happens when we have faith. That happens when we have faith. Faith in what, Pastor? Faith for what? Faith for everything. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Faith. Brother Snow talked about it this morning. It is faith that pleases God. What does Hebrews 11 say? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why were we made? We were made for His pleasure. How do we please Him? By faith. What is faith? It is complete dependence upon Him. Why were we made for His pleasure? That we read that in Revelation 4:11 just a moment ago. Why were we made for His pleasure? How do we please Him? By faith. What is faith? It is total and utter and complete dependence upon Him for everything. And that's what these three young men had. They had faith, and because of that faith, it gave them courage. It gave them courage. I believe we could stop and stay there a while tonight. Maybe we'll do it Tuesday night. But we need some faith. And when I say we, I'm talking about Christianity in general right now. Right now. We need some faith. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King. Verse 17, they had plenty of faith, did they not? They said, He is able. And they didn't stop there. They said, He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. That's faith. But in verse 18, they said, but you know what? Maybe it's not His will to deliver us. Maybe we'll burn up in that fiery furnace. But if we do, we're not going to worship Your image. That's faith. That's faith and obedience. Clashing face to face. Faith and obedience. That's if I perish, I perish. Faith and obedience. By the way, tonight I'm not talking about being foolish. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. But I am talking about having faith. Trusting God's Word. Trusting His power. Trusting that He covers His own. He convinces them of His position. He convinces them of His power. His power to defend and His power to deliver. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Well, Nebuchadnezzar, let me tell you who that God is. He is the God that created your hands. Nebuchadnezzar, you think your hands are so powerful. You think you are so powerful. Maybe it was because of the dream. Maybe it was because of the interpretation in chapter number 2 that he's this head of gold. Maybe that's what brought him to this point in chapter number 3. We don't know. But Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up in his heart. Hey, I'm pretty powerful. Who is that God that shall deliver? In chapter 2, he's recognizing that God. In chapter 2, he's acknowledging that God. But in verse number 15 of chapter 3, hey, who is that God? He can't deliver you out of my hands. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, He is the God who created your hands. And if He is the creator of it, then He has all authority over it. He is the God who creates the hands. He is the God who covers His. And He is the God who convinces the heathen. Tuesday night, we're going to see what that means to us. Who is that God? Part 2. We'll see that Tuesday night. What does that mean from us? Or what ought that bring from us? It ought to bring a number of things, and we'll see that Tuesday night. Who is that God? And dear friend, in the year 2020, getting ready to head into 2021, who knows what 2021 holds? Who knew what 2020 held, right? Who knows? God knows. God knows. See, He's already there. He's already there. God's already in 2021. He already knows what's going to happen. And because of that, we can trust Him. Because of that, we can have faith. Because of that, we can say, if I perish, I perish. I listened to a good message last night, and I'm done. I listened to a message last night from 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that is the passage that we mention so often at funerals. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now let me tell you this tonight. I have no desire to die tonight. I don't. I have three children that I want to see grow a little more and maybe have grandkids or get married or whatever. I have no desire to die tonight, but why do we fear death so much? If we say that we know Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And didn't the Apostle Paul say that's much better? Didn't Apostle Paul say that that was gain? Faith. Hey, we have faith in our God, but if not, we're still not going to bow. If He takes us home, we sure didn't lose. And we're sure not going to bow. Amen? Who is that God? Let's leave tonight. Let's leave tonight thinking and remembering who is that God. And let's come Tuesday night ready to talk about that God. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Chris to come to the piano. We're not going to take long in the invitation tonight, but if the Lord's worked in your heart, maybe you just need to kneel where you're at, or maybe the Lord would bring you to the altar tonight, would bring you to the platform, to one of these front pews, just to simply say, God, thank you for being that God. Thank you for being the God who creates. Thank you for being the God who covers us. Thank you for being the God who convinces. How many times in the last couple of weeks have we looked at passages? Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers. He will judge. He does convince. He does show. And there will be a day that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. They'll all acknowledge who He is, because they will once and for all be convinced of who He is. But let me say this tonight. Chris is going to begin to play in just a moment. But if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior, would you be convinced of who He is tonight? He's the one who came and died on the cross of Calvary and who desires to wash away your sins tonight if you will simply call upon Him for salvation tonight. If that's you, dear friend, you come. Brother Chris is going to play. If you need to come, come. You need to be saved, come. Believer, you just need to come and pray, come and pray. Who is that God? So many answers we could give tonight. We saw three in Daniel chapter number 3. Who is that God? He's God. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the God of the universe. Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2 said He's the God of gods. He is above every other god. There is no other god. There are gods that people worship, but they're not a god. They can't speak. They can't help. They can't convince. They can't cover the way our God can. How great thou art. Is He great in your life tonight? Does He hold the position of preeminence in your life tonight? The position of greatness? Not of just prominence, but preeminence.